Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you do not understand what I do. You do not know what I know. After that, he gave some knowledge of his names, or he gave some knowledge to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, which he told the angels. As he told the angels, that knowledge was such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had asked them to prostrate in front of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. After listening to that, they all went in sijda. Other than one whose name used to be Haris, but became Iblis that day. Iblis said that, you know, you're asking me to prostrate in front of this being who's made of clay. When we talk about being made of clay, the beginning of your bodies are from the earth. Meaning what grows from the earth is eaten by something, and that is eaten by man, and that in turn changes into the biological process which you all know. And inside of your body there are all the elements, minerals, salts that are present in earth. And when you go back into this earth, or your body goes back into this earth, it gets recycled. So basically the same thing gets recycled, and then grass grows on it. Again the process starts. Somebody, when those animals eat it, then they get eaten, and then so forth. The other way of saying that you're made of clay is because this body of yours is the lowest level of your existence. Earth being the lowest thing. Your highest level of existence is your soul. And the lowest level of your existence is your body. In between, there are many different levels of your existence which some people can see, but majority of the people cannot see. And one of those individuals who passed away who was able to see those different levels of my existence or yours, his name was Ayatullah Bahjat rahmatullah alayh. He was able to see what level of existence you have in barzakh, in purgatory. With the obedience that he did to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love that he had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was given this as a gift. On the day of judgment, all of the levels of your existence are going to be shown. Your highest level of existence is the soul. The lowest level is the body. Because you say, my body. And we've talked about this many, many times. So, this you say, my body, means that this is not you. This is something that you own. My car, my house, my glasses, my homework. Right? So, this lowest level, because it is closest thing to the clay to earth, Iblis, when he looked at it, he could not see the potential that human beings had to be able to become the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One possibility. That because he just saw that, you know, the body is made of clay and it has all of the minerals and salts. Because if you were to burn your body, right, you know how people get cremated? They're probably worth about $4 to $5 in those minerals that come out. You got some potassium in there. You got some other salts in there. And if you were to sell the ashes of a person, you could probably make $4 to $5. So the first possibility is that Shaitan or Iblis only looked at that side of human beings. Could not see the potential that human being had to be able to acquire the levels that no other creation can acquire. The second possibility is that Iblis was able to see the potential. he was able to see that this being is going to cross all of creation. That this being can achieve those levels that no other creation in the universe can achieve. And he became jealous. So one possibility is of his arrogance. I'm better than you. Do you find yourself saying that? No? Alhamdulillah. Generally, kids have this very much inside of them. They're always competing. They're always saying, I'm better than you. They say, no, I'm better than you. And as children, okay, this is fine, sort of. It's okay. It's understandable. It's a bit of play. But what really saddens me is that when people grow up and they still are competing with each other. Who's going to have a bigger house? Who's going to have a bigger car? Who's going to have a lot more money? You know, and a lot of this actually goes towards more towards the sisters, but the brothers are just as much guilty. If you were to say to someone that you are better than them, just know that this thing is the root to all of evils. The root to all evils is this statement that I am better than you. So two possibilities, either shaitan did arrogance or he was jealous. Now, in the creation at that time, they were jinn and they were also angels. And there were some things that were on this earth that were carbon-based who had similarities to the body of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Because the angel said that this being is going to shed blood. Unless and until they had another precedent, another creation they could see, they could not have said that. Unless they saw inside of the body of man that there is fire and there is water. There is heat and there is cool. There are things in there, solid and liquid. Right? There are things in there that are the opposite. So maybe because of those opposites, this man would go and shed blood. So there were three possibilities of three existences that were already there. We know that angels were there. We know that jinn was there because Iblis was a jinn and he's still a jinn. He was the leader among angels as a worshipper. He had impressed the angels of the worship that he did of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say that he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 6,000 years of that world. If you were to convert the time from that world into this, where you have one day of that is 50,000 years of this world. Or one day of that is 1,000 years of this world. Now if you start converting 6,000 years of that into here, probably comes into trillions of years. They say that 4,000 years he finished 2 rakat namaz. The total 6,000 years that he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was standing doing prayers for 4,000 years and he completed 2 rakat. And among the angels, he had impressed everybody. Everybody thought of him as someone who's a very big worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a very big scholar, as a very big, you know, person who's muttaqi, parhezgar, you know, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so forth. So the angels used to call him as his leader, although he was not from the angels, a jinn. Now the sad thing about it is that either shaitan did what it did for 4,000 or 6,000 years as hypocrisy, riya. One possibility that he did riya, to show off people. Second possibility that he did it sincerely. But he had in his heart this disease of arrogance and jealousy which came out at the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to do sijda. That he did not realize he was Iblis when he was worshipping, but when that event happened, that dirt he had inside came out. كان من الكافرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he was from the kafirs from before. Either he did not know, or second, he knew and he did riyah to show off to people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not duplicate work. Right? All the work that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, he does not duplicate it like we do. So man has to fulfill that purpose that cannot be fulfilled by jinn. Man has to fulfill that purpose that cannot be fulfilled by the angels. Man has to fulfill that purpose that cannot be fulfilled by animals. Man has to be created for a purpose which cannot be fulfilled by any other creation but man. And what was the beauty? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you an animalistic side. He gave you an angelic side. And He gave you a what side? He gave you an animalistic side. He gave you an angelic side. Right? In between, He puts you where you're going to be pulled by both. In between, He gave you a soul, which He associated Himself with it. I put my soul in Him. What is this soul? This soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is mine. Meaning what? That I have put inside of the souls all of my own inclinations. Whatever I like, the soul likes. And whatever I dislike, the soul dislikes. And on the side, the animalistic side is going to pull you. The angelic side that you have also pulls you. And there is another factor, which is the insinuations of shaitan. The insinuations of shaitan that comes to your mind while you are being pulled. How does he does the insinuation? Have you guys seen the ads? The advertising? Their philosophy is that if you repeat the ad a certain amount of time, the possibility is that this person will go and buy the product. That's why they repeat the ad so many times. That so many times when the ad is repeated, you will unconsciously go and buy their product. So if there are two companies, one company repeats the ad 1,000 times, the other company repeats the ad 500 times, the one who repeated 1,000 times will get more people buying their product. So basically, shaitan's waswasa is just a repetition of suggestion in your mind. It's like a broken record. It keeps on going. Call this person a name, 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 and just keeps on repeating until the person calls the other person a name. To give you another example, like a child, right? What does children do that are 2 or 3 years old? They keep on asking the same thing. Can I have my Beyblade? 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 They keep on repeating so many times that a 250-pound person submits to the will of a 2-year-old. He says, okay, fine, go, you get your Beyblade. So this insinuation that comes to your mind is actually not in any other voice but your own voice. Right? When Shaitan comes and gives you this insinuation, he's not giving the insinuation in a different voice. And you do not understand whether this is the voice of Shaitan or this is the voice of an angel or this is your own voice. But what happens is once you have acted on the insinuation of Shaitan, the result that comes out, you realize afterwards that actually you had listened to Shaitan. Salawat pura Muhammad wa Allah. If you can also come a bit in the front, there's a few seats that are. So now, the angel, for example, does not get insinuations of shaitan. The angels, they don't get any insinuations. So there is no pull for the angel. The animal is actually only doing what the instincts are telling it to do. It's pre-programmed. And this pre-programmed instincts are in us as well. These instincts are in us as well. For example, in instincts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put, you guys read science and everything, right? And we explained yesterday that science and religion is actually not in battle, but science is only discovering the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these laws are created by Him. So if there is a scientist who believes in Allah and believes that He is the Almighty and He is the Creator and He is the one who's created this universe, discovers those laws, that science is actually not science, it's Islamic science. But if the person, a chemist, is an atheist or agnostic and discovers the rules, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and denies His existence, then you cannot call that as an Islamic science, you can call it chemistry. Right? So these are also the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the instincts of animals, there is a defense mechanism. There is territorial, that they are territorial, that they will have a territory which they will mark and they will defend that. Just like we do that too, borders. You know, like when Canada and US, they have a yellow line. That yellow line, US says, this is my territory. And from this yellow line, Canada says, this is my territory. And I'm going to defend my border. When you look underneath, the land is the same. The earth on which they've made this yellow line is the same. You're driving along on the same earth. After you cross the yellow line, you are in US. And you go the opposite way, you are in Canada. So this sort of territorial attitude that human beings have, this is not to do with their ruh. This is not to do with the soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. This is to do with the instincts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave as animals. Prejudice. You know? Like the lions, if the lions are there in that territory, they do not want any other animal to come in. Like for example, cheetah. They will say that if the cheetah comes in, they will take their food. And they will not have food, so that means they're going to go hungry. Just like people are prejudiced here. They say these people come from outside. They take over our jobs and then we don't have any jobs anymore. Or the animals are prejudiced with the different color that, for example, cheetah has a different color. Right? Than lion. So they look at the cheetah, you don't look the same. So that means you cannot come in here. Just like human beings are prejudiced against each other. This person is this color, this person is that color. At the end of the day, a Chinese person also cries. When you hit a Chinese person, they also cry. When you hit an American person, they also cry. When you hit a Pakistani, also cries. If you hit an Arab, they also cry. Their skin color might be different, their eyes might be different, their noses might be different, they might eat a different kind of food and flavor, they might dress a different way, they might have different customs and so forth, but at the core, everybody is the same. Yet we are prejudiced. And we are, I think, and out of very much sadness and remorse and regret, I have to say that we are probably the most prejudiced nation in the world. Or maybe the other people are more accommodating and tolerant of other nations. We ourselves are very much prejudiced against each other. Like our borders are even with language. This person speaks Punjabi. This person speaks Urdu. We are different. So the Punjabis will be prejudiced against the Urdus. The Urdus are prejudiced against the Punjabi. Or even in a country where there is different dialect, people are prejudiced against each other because they speak a different dialect. So anyone who is actually being prejudiced, they are going towards their animalistic side of instinct. As a human being, we're supposed to go above that. Otherwise, what's the difference between us and an animal? If we cannot go above our instinct, what's the difference? When Imam comes, inshallah, maybe Friday, for him to come on Friday, please read aloud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad.
Nare Haidari.
Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali. This, you didn't give due respect to his nara. Want to say it again? They'll try again.
Nare Haidari.
Ya Ali.
When he comes, you will see the Salah for Eid being recited, where there will be thousands of people who will be standing in line, submitting in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you will see in the first saf, probably some Chinese, some Indonesian, some blue eyes, blonde hair, some black eyes, brown eyes. You'll see some, you know, all of these people that are going to be there, they're going to be with different creeds and nations. And they're all going to pray together. And none of this prejudice that we have today will exist in the government of Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the things that we have to do to be able to get ready for that government is get rid of prejudice. If we still are prejudiced, we will have a problem when Imam comes. And when I say that we are the most prejudiced, I am not being very, you know, I'm part of you as well. I'll give you another scenario. I went to Pakistan, where I'm from, right? Very hard for you to tell I'm from Pakistan. Because we have certain features that we say, okay, if this person has this certain features, he's from Pakistan. So when I went to Pakistan, I was visiting one of my uncle who lived in an army camp. It's called Chowni in Urdu, where just the army lives. They have it. So I decided that I was going to go to the mess where there is, you know, there's like food and so forth. So I decided to go on a bicycle. From Canada, I was visiting after 6 years. You know, just started going on the bicycle. While I was going, everybody was saluting me. Everybody was saluting, and I got so many salutes, I started to feel good, because in Canada, nobody salutes. Right? And I started to feel this sort of arrogance coming inside of me. Yeah. So when I got there, you know, I did what I did, and when I was coming back, the same thing happened. Everybody's saluting. I got home, I asked my uncle, I said, you know, this happened. He said, I don't understand why, because I wasn't wearing any uniform. I have a Canadian passport. I don't even have a Pakistani passport, for example. I mean, why were these people saluting me? He said, you know, because your skin color is fair, they thought that this is a new officer in the camp. And they wanted to be on your good side. I said, just because of my skin color, they thought I was an officer? I said, yeah. Because they think that officers have to be light-skinned. If you're dark-skinned, not officer. Where is Islam? Arab and Ajam, this was before Islam. I'm better than you, you are better than me, this was before Islam. I'm Punjabi, I'm Hindi, Urdu, I'm Afghani, I'm this, this Khoja, this. This was before Islam. This was in the days of ignorance. Those days have changed. Islam came to finish those. Islam came to make us one body, to get rid of all of these prejudices that we have built. Sometimes we act in a way that Islam never came. As if the Prophet never came. The same traditions of Jahiliyyah, we have it among ourselves. You know what they used to do? Another thing? If a chicken would cross into the other territory, they would start a war. And the war would stay for, you know, years and years. What happened? The chicken crossed. What do we do with our relatives? A person comes out of the washroom, the hands are, you know, wet, they end up going like this, the splash is on the face, okay, that's it, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. For 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, the people are not talking with each other. Why? Because of that. This is before Islam. This zamane, ignorance or jahaliyat, this is for those things. Now, like for example, for marriage, you want to go ask of a hand of a person, you better have a job. You better have money, your family should be good, and you should be handsome. If you do not have any one of those, you will have a problem proposing. Yeah? So, this is not Islamic practice. Islam came to say, you do not look at any of those things. You look at inside of the person's heart. See how pious this person is. See how much knowledge this person has about Islam. See how much this person is following on the obligations of Islam. And give your daughter to that person. So, there are certain animalistic instincts that we have, and we have to go above that. Now, as far as the soul is concerned, I mentioned to you that we existed before. Right? There were three questions, you remember?
Why?
The first question. Where did we come from?
Why are we here?
Where are we going? As far as the first question is concerned, we existed in the form of a soul which did get transferred into different worlds. First was Alam-e-Zar. Alam-e-Zar was that we were very, very tiny little particles of light. Hazrat Adam alayhis-salam's creation, he sees these particles of light. They looked like stars. Some of these lights were bright, some were dim. Asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are going to be your children. He said, some of the lights are bright, some are not that bright. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the capacity of your children by which I will test them in a world. From Alam-e-Zar, we went into Alam-e-Arwah, souls, the world of the souls. In the world of the souls, then we went into Alam-e-Mithaq, where we gave promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then our soul got connected with this body. Remember what I gave you the example yesterday? Avatar, right? You guys have seen that? The body gets connected with the person through that connection. Okay. In Alam-e-Mithaq, we made a few promises. Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani adama an la ta'budu shaitan. O Bani Adam, did I not take a promise from you that you're not going to worship shaitan? إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوفٌ مُّبِينٌ That is your clear enemy. Take him as your clear enemy. فَانِعْبَدُونِ You should worship me. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ This is the straight path. أَلَّا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَا Who is your Lord? We said, you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the reason why I took this promise from you so that you do not come to me on the day of judgment saying, I did not know. Or you come to me saying, why are you punishing me for the sins of my forefathers? Now how many people remember those promises? Even we made the promise of the vilayat of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and all of the Aimma Masumin alayhi salam.
Muhammad.
We made a promise about their obedience. We made so many promises. How many of you do you remember? We don't remember much. But the 124,000 prophets came to remind us of the promises. If you have forgotten, I have come to remind you. We still don't want to remember. I'm going to give you a few sort of logical points by which you can sort of understand that we did exist before we came into this world. Have you ever had this experience, and this actually happens with all of the 7 billion people around the world? You meet someone and it feels as if you've seen them before. You meet someone that you click with. Like you have never met them before, it's the first time you're meeting them, but you click with them. And then there are individuals, no matter how many times you look at them, you can never click. Right? This happens with everybody. All the 7 billion people around the world, this happens with them. Where did you meet before? Right? If you've never met in this world, maybe you had met somewhere else where you sort of remember, and now that you see the person, it sort of click as if you've known that person for years. Maybe you've known them only for an hour, but it seems like you've known them for years. The best example that I can give you is the love that you have of Imam Hussain Sattar. Have you ever seen him? No? Have you ever sat with him? Have you ever talked to him? Has he ever done anything for you? Have you done anything for him? All the principles or laws by which love exists. If my mother did not give me birth, if she did not feed me, if she did not clothe me, if she did not do everything for me, why would I love her? True? My father, I love him because he's my father. He sacrificed his life to give me life. But there is something that they have done. This something that they have done makes me love them. Imam Hussain, who you've never seen, yet you feel the love inside of your heart. Every year in Muharram, all over the world, there is not any time or any hour in which there is no aza of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where is this love coming from? And you will forget your father, for example, once they pass away after 2 years, 3 years. Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you haven't forgotten for 40, 50, 60 years. And when a person would ask, why do you love him? You will give them answers that he was very patient, he was very brave, he sacrificed everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end, you know that there is an undying love inside of your heart for him. Of all of the Aimma Masumin alayhi salam, take care of this love that you have brought here. It's a precious thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this as a precious thing. This love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. It's not something to be taken lightly. Over there they were friends and over there they were enemies. Ibn Muljim comes and does bi'ah on the hands of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He reads the Arabic terms. When he's going, Imam says, you did not do bi'ah. You didn't pay your allegiance. He comes back, he does it again, he's going, Imam says, you did not do. Third time comes and does the same thing, Imam tells him that you did not do, and the reason he gives him, that your face is not recognizable to me. Everybody is born with the fitrat of Islam. Every child which is born on the fitrat of Islam. Meaning, you have learned the lessons of Asul-e-Din from somewhere before you came into this world. Tawheed is fitri. It's natural. Nubuwwat is fitri, imamat is fitri, qiyamat is fitri, adl ilahi is fitri. It's natural. If you look around the world, people have always said something to God, like something they've always worshipped. If you look at the people in the world, always they had this idea about life after death. Right? Where is this idea coming from? If you were to put a person in a jungle in Australia, this person will still ask these three questions. Where am I coming from? Why am I here? And where am I going? And will make something as his God. You guys are not interested in that world? Should we talk about the world afterwards, like punishment of hell and... I can give you an example. Let's say I've come to you in Dallas. As I land, I hit my head. And as I hit my head, I get into this amnesia. I forgot where I am. I forgot where I'm coming from. I forgot that I have a wife and I have three kids. I forget I have a house and a mortgage. I forget that I have a car. You know, I forget all of my life in Toronto. And I start living my life from scratch. Does that mean because I forgot that I did not have a life before? It doesn't mean that. I did have a life before. Now, if somebody can remind me, for example, if my son comes in front of me, I will say, I've seen you somewhere. I know you from somewhere, but I can't put my finger on from where I know you. My daughter comes in front of me, I will say the same thing. What has happened to us is that we've gotten into this amnesia as soon as we landed on the airport called Earth. And after getting this amnesia, we forgot where we came from. And after we forgot where we came from, we thought we always lived here. And we're going to always live here. And we're never going to go back. So in this amnesia, we are living our life not knowing that we had a life before. In order for you to be able to come to the purpose of your creation, you have to know where you're coming from. You have to know that you are immortal. You have to know that your body is just a suit. You have to know that in this world, all there is that you're here to be able to get something for the next world. You have to know that your life that is going to be in the hereafter compared to this life is nothing compared to what you have in the hereafter. You have to know these rules. After knowing these rules, you will be able to understand your purpose. Do you want to be reminded? Do you want to know, like, do you want to be reminded of the promises that you made? Okay, is there anybody before they become corrupt? Any human being hates Satan. Where is this hate coming from? When they grow up and they become Freemasons, they start worshipping them. But before that, everybody hates Satan. Everybody loves a person who's good. Right? Everybody loves a person who's good. Everybody hates the person who's bad. You have to say to yourself that all of these things that are sort of universal, where are they coming from inside of your heart? Right? So the one thing is, you have come from somewhere, and if you understand what you did, you know, try to see the verses of Quran that are dealing specifically with that time. And once you understand those verses, you will understand a bit about that time and what you did. And that will help you over here. Why do you think some people are born in Hindu families? Some people are born in Shia families. Some people are born in Muslim families. Some people are born in Jewish families. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just going to randomly put people in different families without their own actions being involved. On the day of judgment, the person can say, well, if you had put me into a Muslim family and all the sins that I had committed, I would still end up going to heaven. Because I told you, those Muslims who killed the family of the Prophet, they call themselves Muslims, those individuals who killed the family of the Prophet, who did all of the tyranny to the family of the Prophet, who took the rights of the family of the Prophet, these individuals will never be able to go to heaven. I mentioned to you the hellfire is not strong enough to purify them. The person can say, you know, if I was born in a Muslim family, I would have gone once a year for Eid, for namaz. I would have done all the things that I wanted to do. Yeah, okay, you would have punished me in this world, you would have punished me in the grave, you would have punished me in the purgatory, you would have punished me on the day of judgment, but I would have ended up going to heaven. What was my fault? It means that before we came into this world, we sort of had some tests by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us either in the family of a Muslim or a family of a non-Muslim. Those tests that we did, according to that, we got placed in this earth. And the individuals who are placed in a Muslim family or the individuals who are placed in a non-Muslim family, when they grow up and they become baligh, they're both in the same boat. Meaning that person who was born in a Muslim family cannot just say, I say Allah is one because my dad has told me. The religion of your mom and dad is not going to cut it in the grave. You would have to say it with conviction, who's your Lord? Your own self who decided that with research, with logic, with reading, with looking at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you came to this conclusion that Allah is there. So they're in the same boat. You can see that there are many people who are born in non-Muslim families, but when they become Muslim, they are better Muslims than the ones who were born in Muslim families. Right? So there are things that we have done even in that world which has made us to have a start in a different places. One of the tests I can tell you, but you want me to tell you that test that you guys did? In the Surah Al-Kafir, it says that in that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a fire and told the souls to jump into it. The first soul that jumped into it was of the Prophet, and then Aimmah, Sumin, Anbiya, alayhi salam, Awliyaul Allah, they all jumped into the fire. And Hassan was standing there, and I don't know who was with me, so I'm not going to say any names. But I was standing there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, why didn't you jump into the fire? I'm like, you know, you want me to burn? You want me to burn into this fire? I ordered you to go into the fire. Well, yeah, I am not going to burn. I can see the fire is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, the people who went into the fire, the one who accepted what I did, what I said, is going to be the people of the right hand. And Hassan, you're going to be from the people of the left hand. I started crying. I was like, that's not fair. It's only one test. You know, you can't really decide my eternity just with one test. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought all of the souls back and ordered them the same thing. Then again, the same souls went in. And then Hassan is standing there. I say, why didn't you jump? Well, it was not fair. You see, you didn't burn them. They came back. I said, okay, so you burned them. They came back. Why aren't you going back in? That's not fair. Okay, then you're going to be the people of the left hand, you're going to be the people of the right hand. And complain again. Three times happened. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are going to be the group of the people who will go to hell. You're going to be the people who are going to go to heaven. Now, once this classification was done after this test, the people of the right started saying, we want to have more tests. We want to show the love that we have for you in tests, in musibah, in hardships, in suffering. We want to be in the positions where we can show you how much we love you. Is that okay? And the people from my group, it's not fair, you know, like, I want to be tested again so that I have opportunities to get myself out of hell and I can go into the people on the right hand. Lashmanatara said, okay, this is what we're going to do. You listening? This is what we're going to do. We're going to put you into this earth. We're going to give you something from these tests that you have earned. We'll give you a few different starts. We'll put certain love inside of your hearts and animosity for certain other. You will come into this world and I will test you every single moment of your life. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, I'll test you constantly. The people who are on the left can decide from their own power of reason, free will, to get out and go into heaven and then go up. And the people on the right can decide they can fall from heaven into hell or elevate themselves to go higher and higher and higher. So that on the day of judgment you do not say to me again, send me back. Although there will be Hassan again standing on the day of judgment saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send me back this time, I will do right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Hassan, you know, you never did right in Alami Arba. You never did right in this world. No matter even if I send you 1,000 times, you're going to end up doing the same thing. Is it still not proven to you? Is it still not proven to you? Do you need more proof? Eyes, tell him what you did. And the eyes will start giving a witness against me. So you, my eyes, you're bearing a witness against me? I owned you. Say no. You were given temporary ownership in this world. You never owned me. My owner is only Allah. And when you thought you owned me, I was actually a spy of Allah. I was spying on you. There is no place that you can go without the spies of Allah following you. If you are alone in a room, you think no one is there, while your body parts are the spies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will bear a witness against you. So I will say, okay, you know what? These eyes are saying, okay, like this. No, okay, I will get the earth to witness against you. Oh, no, no, this earth, no. You know who's going to give? There's going to be another witness against us. And that is going to be in our time, our Imam. Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam will give witness against me. Because every Friday he gets to know what I have done. He's a witness to my actions. And on that day he can give witness against me. In this world he feels for me. When he looks at Hassan's actions, he cries. Because he knows that there will come a day on the day of judgment, I would have to bear witness against him. Oh Allah, guide him. Oh Allah, give him the ability to choose the right. Refrain him from doing evil. He prays for me. His heart bleeds. Ayatollah Dasgheb Shirazi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said that every sin that we commit is an arrow on the heart of Imam Zaman. It's an arrow that we shoot. We cry on the arrows that were shot in Karbala. We cry on that, of the arrows that were shot on the heart of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What about the arrows we shoot? You have to be careful. And these tears that comes out of your heart or of your eyes, know that they are very precious. There was a Shia person where Tigris and Euphrates meet. There's a town, I think it's called Musayyab. It's basically, our Sunni brothers, for example. The Shia person used to cross over and go to Najaf to visit Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, and this one person used to always sort of ridicule him. Used to say bad things to him. One day, and this actually is narrated by Ayatollah Bahjat rahmatullah alayhi, so we have no doubt on the authenticity of this. So this person one day said bad things about Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Mazallah. This person went to Najaf, saw Imam in his dream, and he complained to Imam. He said, Imam, this person has said this. You should do something to him. Imam said, we cannot. He said, we cannot do anything to him because, in this world, we cannot do anything to him because he cried one tear on the musibah of Imam Hussain. In his life, one tear came out of his eye on the musibah, on the suffering of Imam Hussain. We cannot punish him in this world. When he was returning back, he saw the man came up to him and said, what? Did you tell your Mawla? I told him. Did you give him my message? He said, I gave him your message. And I have come with a message to you. He said that Mawla has said that we cannot punish you in this world because there was a time you were sitting right there where Tigris and Euphrates meet. You were looking at the water of River Farat of Euphrates and you thought of it that, Umar ibn Sa'd should have given water to Hussein. Before killing him, you should have given him water. And that made you have one tear come out of your eye. And because of that, we will not punish you. The man looked down, said, nobody was there when I shed that one tear. How did Imam knew? He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, Aliyun waliyullah. They are from a generous family. If your heart breaks, if you cry, if you become sad, you will be rewarded. But just know that your sadness and this reward that you will get, you're still responsible. Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir, may the peace and blessings be upon him, a childhood friend of Imam Hussain. Imam would walk and Habib would take the dirt. Wherever Imam would walk, he would be behind him like a shadow. Loved Imam Hussain all of his life. He was in love with Imam Hussain. In Kufa, gets a letter or gets to know about Imam Hussain is in Karbala. Kufa at that time, all of the Kufa was bordered, like you could not go out. Gets a letter, reads it. Wife says, whose letter is it? Am I Mala Hussain's letter? He's asking me to help. I said, why are you still here? You try to understand what Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir is feeling. My childhood friend is alone. I'm in Kufa. He needs my help. He tells his slave to take the horse to meet him at a place so that he can go and see Imam the slave was saying to the horse that, you know, if he doesn't come, if the master doesn't come, oh horse, I will go, we will go. Look at the love of Imam Hussein in this slave's heart. He says, I will go, we will go. Hazrat Habib hears, he says, you are free. He says, it's not fair. When I was your slave, now that I've become free, you're telling me I'm free, I cannot go help Imam Hussein. I'll go. They both went. He goes in, says salams to Bibi Zainab, salam alayha. Bibi Zainab says salams to him. Just on the fact that Bibi Zainab has welcomed and said salam, Habib ibn Mazar starts crying. He says, what kind of time has come that you say salam to your slave? Hazrat Habib ibn Mazahir, on the day of Ashura, asked for permission. Imam Hussain has some gifts. Hazrat Habib goes, fights. You know, every time one of the friends of Imam Hussain went to the battlefield, Imam Hussain did not take eyes off of that person. He stood there watching. And whenever they would fall, he would run to their bodies. Whenever they would fall, he would run to their bodies. As Habib fell, Imam Hussain ran. You know, Habib ibn Mazahir's head was the first head that was taken off of the body. His head was taken off of the body, put on a spear. This head that was put on the spear, the history of this head did not finish there. It was tied to a horse, being dragged. And this person who's dragging the head on that horse sees that there is a boy. There's a boy following wherever this person is going. The person stops, says, who are you? The boy says, you know, this is my baba's, this is my father's head. This head that you have attached to the horse, this is my baba's head. This is the head of my father. Can you give that head back to me? I can bury it. You cannot imagine the pain. We can't imagine that my son would be following my severed head attached to a horse. I can't even imagine. And my younger son is following the horse, wherever it is going. Is looking, is this my father's head? Can't even imagine this pain and suffering that they went through. There is no scale that can have measure for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to become the true followers and friends of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be able to use our potential, to be able to reach that particular place where He wants us to reach. For the sake of the tears of that little boy's Qasim's, the little boy's tears that fell after watching his father's head being dragged. My Lord, if a tear of a person was worth so much to you, who did not know Ali, what would be that tear worth to you? For the worth of that tear of that little boy, please forgive our sins. Give us the ability to become true friends and followers of our Imam. May he come as soon as possible. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal Asr. Innal Insana Lafi Khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
Brothers and sisters, you may remain seated. At this time, we're going to do Ziyarat Ashura. Afterwards, please recite two rakat shukr namaz.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala